Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Esaias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Esaias saith again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Esaias when he saw his glory, and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher. Thank you for joining with us. And today we're going right into the message on standing up for the truth, the light of the gospel. And that's the call of the Lord to every born-again Christian. And so I trust you'll stay with us as we let the Bible speak today.
Now, praise God, in Canada we have still light. The gospel is not shut down yet. And the door is open to preach the gospel across this country. We're thankful for that. But let us make use of that light, and let us walk in that light. I read an article on Sermon Audio news section that in China, 2019 was a year of increased persecution. Indeed, the organization, I think their name is Open Doors, is their name. And they put out their 2020 report. And they stated that in 2019, 8 Christians laid down their lives under persecution every day. Every day in 2019. And they marked that as an increase of 6% over the years before. And China in particular. And they said that in many countries, there are about 260 million Christians who face persecution on a regular basis. That's around this world. And yet in the midst of this world, we are called upon to walk in the light, lest darkness fall upon you. Now, let's look at our own lives and ask, am I walking in the light? Am I making the light of the gospel to shine through my life? Do others know that I am a Christian? Do I use the opportunities the Lord gives to be witnesses for Christ? That's the call that the Lord makes right here. Now, in verse 42, you will see that all Christians are called to publicly confess Christ. Verse 42, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. And so here is the Lord addressing this whole matter of what we might call secret discipleship. Those who have been convinced that Jesus is the Savior, yet because of the fear of man, and to be put out of the synagogue was a very, very serious excommunication. You might not have a home, you might not have a job, you would be an outcast in the community if you are put out of the synagogue. That was a serious matter. And there were those now who were convinced Jesus is the true Messiah, the Savior that I need, but because of the fear of men, they did not confess him. Now, into what category do we put such people? Well, excuse me, the Lord spent a lot of time in his ministry teaching about the need to confess him before men. In John 12, verse 8, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you into the synagogues and unto the magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how ye or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. And so in this passage, Luke 11, I'll give you the text because I didn't ask you to look it up. It's Luke 12, verse 8 onwards. But in that passage, in that teaching the Lord gave to his people, he certainly did not tell them that they were to be silent, but rather they were to depend on the Holy Spirit to equip them to how to speak for the Lord Jesus. And so the problem is lack of courage. The problem is that, well, these people in particular in John 12, they were locked into Judaism. They had grown up in the synagogue. Their parents were there. Their brothers and sisters, their cousins, their friends were all locked into the synagogue. And now if they clung to Jesus as the Savior, they would pay a terrible price. And yet, the Lord called them to believe and to follow him. But you will see that there was a lack of faith. There was something short in their faith. Look at verse 46. Now is the Lord speaking on this last occasion in this public manner, and he says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. That means you shouldn't be living your Christian life in the closet. You shouldn't be doing this undercover. You shouldn't live your Christian life under a cloud of secrecy. You've come to the light. You have believed on me. Walk as children of light, not abiding in darkness. Come out as a Christian and take your stand for the Lord Jesus. Now, we have to honestly and openly recognize that many have denied the Lord Jesus who were true believers. Even Peter. We're all familiar with his sorry denial in that very week of this ministry of the Lord Jesus, where that little girl spoke to Peter, you're one of them, you're a Galilean, and Peter cursed and denied. But praise God, he was restored. There was great weakness at that point, but Peter was restored. Now, in the early church, in the first century, this is one of the great difficulties of the Christian church. What do you do with people who, under political pressure, when they were called upon to profess either Christ or Caesar, and under public pressure, they bowed to Caesar? And then when they went back home and they wanted to be a part of the church, what do you do with these people who denied the Lord Jesus? And there were church splits over it. There were people who say, that person denied our Lord. We can't have that person coming and taking communion and fellowshipping with us. Others said, but Peter was restored. And there were churches who were welcoming and warmly restoring people who sorrowfully denied their Lord. When I was reading about William Tyndale for the Reformation meetings, he wrote very graciously, because in England, during that time of horrible persecution against those who refused the king and refused to stay with the church at that time, and there was horrible persecution, there were those, even like Thomas Cranmer. Well, of course, he was martyred immediately afterwards because he didn't come back into the church. But there were many people who, under horrible pressure, weakened and feel the Lord by not confessing him. And yet, William Tyndale, who, as you know, was very much a reformer in England, he wrote that the church should be very gracious and sympathetic to those who in weakness denied the Lord but wanted to be restored with a new repentance. And of course, when we think about it, there's not one of us that are not weak at some point. There's not one of us that at some point should have spoken up for the Lord when we didn't. And we felt badly about it later. We felt defeated. And perhaps even had to go on our knees to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. We are all tending to be weak. But there does need to be a confession of the Lord Jesus without silence, without secrecy, and to be identified as a Christian. Now that happens, of course, at baptism. When you are newly converted, you should be baptized, and you should invite all and sundry to witness your baptism. And that means that whatever you've been in the past, you're done with it. Whether it's sins or false religion or some tradition that's not of God, you cut that all off. And your baptism is that you die to all the world and you rise in newness to life in Christ. It's a public declaration that you're a Christian, a follower of the Lord Jesus. Now, that's very easy for us to do at this time here in Canada. But there are Christians around the world paying a great price for that. But it is what's required of them. And it's the reason that they cannot be silent. And they choose suffering, isolation, and death because the Lord calls his people to confess him before men. And he will confess us before our Father in heaven. And so if I am reading and examining and interpreting this whole passage aright, and I think that the evidence is clear in this passage that we're all called to publicly take our stand for the Lord Jesus. Now, it doesn't mean you put an ad in the newspaper and flaunt it. Just live as a Christian. Just do the things that a Christian should do. Join your fellow Christians. Be with them in prayer and praise and preaching and witnessing and baptism, as I mentioned. Communion is another. Let it be known that you're going to the house of God to worship the Lord. Tell others about it and bring them along that they might hear the wonderful message of the Lord Jesus. Now, I come to a third point here, and that is that all Christians recognize that to believe on Christ carries the weight of believing on God the Father as the true God. Now, let's read these verses, 46 onward. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not walk abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Now, that's when Jesus came the first time into the world. When Christ came the first time into the world, he came to save, not to condemn. Then verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Now, here's the meaning. What's the big deal? If you will not confess Jesus as your Lord, you cannot know God. Because it was the Father who sent the Son. It was the Father who gave the Son the words to speak. The message of the gospel is from the Father through the Son. And if we will not confess the Son, we will never be right with God. We'll never stand at the judgment day and be declared forgiven and pardoned. It is only through Jesus that the gospel of Christ, it is only through the cross of Christ that we can be right with God. That's the impact of these very clear statements that are given right here. And Jesus said in verse 49, I have not spoken of myself. The Lord Jesus didn't come on his own agenda. He was the messenger of the Father. And if we shoot the messenger, then we deny the one who sent him. Do you understand how important it is to cling to the Lord, to be a witness for the Lord? And what a motivator this is, that we might each and every one confess the Lord Jesus and live the Christian life. And live the Christian life. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful call this is to us. You'll see there in verse 49, there's a reference to the judgment day. The person who stands at the judgment day denying the Lord Jesus and his words may not appeal to the Father and say, well, Jesus won't have me. Father, will you have me? And the Father will announce, you rejected my Son. He was my appointed Savior for sinners. He carried my message. He offered you my mercy. And you will be judged by God on the same terms, on the very same gospel as preached by the Lord Jesus. What a powerful, powerful thing this is. D.L. Moody told the story of a little Norwegian boy that attended one of his meetings, and he stood up. He could hardly speak a word of English because he was Norwegian. But he got up and he came to the front and he trembled with tears trickling down his cheeks and he said, if I tell the world about Jesus, he will tell the Father about me. And he gone and sat down. That little boy's testimony did more than all the preaching that Moody could do. If I tell the world about the Lord, he will tell the Father about me. That's the essence of it. And as you read down this passage, that's what this is about. And the blessings that come. And on the judgment day, you will have no regrets of standing up for the Lord Jesus and confessing him before men. Because then on that day, Jesus will confess our name before the Father. What a wonderful hope. No rejection, no condemnation, no damnation, no hell for me. I have put my hope in Jesus, and I'm willing to tell the world that I am his child. That's the confident and happy stand of the disciple of the Lord Jesus. I wonder today, are you willing for that stand? Are you willing to come out from the shadows and the darkness and walk in the light, lest the darkness comes upon you? These are powerful, powerful words. And I trust that by God's grace, that the Holy Spirit will today charge your heart and fill you with his power, that you will be a daily witness for the Lord Jesus and live the Christian life openly, joyfully, and use every opportunity, that your life will be salt that it will savor for the Lord Jesus, even in praying for your meals when company is there, even saying, if God wills, even saying, speaking of God's blessings. Maybe you get a new car or a new coat or a new friend or a new job. You call it God's blessing. That's the answer response of a Christian, by God's grace. And when the ungodly hear that, they will know you give God the praise. That's what a Christian does. But if we go off in secrecy and try to live some kind of a half-toned life, one foot in, one foot out, well, that's hardly true faith. That's hardly security on the day of judgment. No, let us be unashamed. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Forbid that any of us here today would be ashamed of our Lord in after what he has done for each of us. Let's unite in prayer.
It's time for another one of our pastoral talks. We've been thinking about God's grace, and the Lord promises that his grace is sufficient. That's what he said to Paul the Apostle when he had that thorn in his flesh, which was some physical malady that he wanted rid of. And he prayed three times, O God, take away this thorn, this problem. And God responded, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. We need to think about the Lord's condition of bestowing grace. My strength is made perfect in weakness, God said. God, therefore, will not fill the proud person with strength. Paul was weakest when his flesh was strongest. He had to be brought to a place of his own emptiness. Note that this was the message that the apostle received from the Lord. My grace is sufficient for thee. The flesh in us is way too strong and is prone to self-promotion. It was because of Paul's privileges that he needed this thorn in the flesh. In verse 7, he had had revelations. He had been caught up to the third heaven. He was a man privileged above all others. Privileges, blessings, and success, if you will, were multiplied in Paul's life. We could think of him as being so spiritual that he couldn't handle it. But the reality is that no one can handle blessings, honor, and success without God's grace. Many have been ruined and spoiled through worldly success. God, in his wisdom, knows that we need to be brought to know our own weakness. It is through failure and trials or our physical sufferings that God keeps our flesh in check. Just think of that statement in 1 Corinthians 1:25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And then Paul said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And it was because of that inner sense of his weakness, and God made him to feel his inadequacy and indeed his lack of equipment, that the Apostle Paul came to know the mighty power of God anointing him. And we must all be brought to confess weakness and feel that we are nothing. Pride must be torn out of us as a plague of the heart. God will not allow the Holy Spirit to fuel our pride. You never find the Holy Spirit making men proud of themselves or their own accomplishments. When Christians sound like politicians bragging of their own achievements, then it's not the work of the Holy Spirit. Gideon's army had to be reduced to 300 men, and God chose just 11 weak, uneducated men, the 11 disciples, to turn the world upside down by preaching the message of the gospel. God truly put his gospel in earthen treasures that the glory might be of God. And so you have the Apostle Paul saying in 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And that's where God wants to keep us. And that's when we learn the Lord's condition of Him bestowing grace upon our hearts and our souls. And so, brother or sister, in your weakness, rejoice that God can still turn your weakness and manifest His power in your life. Power to believe, power to rejoice, power to find peace and strength of heart in the knowledge of the Savior's love for your soul. And so I trust that today that you will take this to heart and rest in the grace of the Lord, which is all sufficient. It is a never-ending supply. It is an inner well of life gushing up, bringing the life of Christ into your soul that will keep you through every situation of this world right to the end. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So let's unite in prayer and call upon the Lord to bless today. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the light of Your Word and for the way in which You bestow grace, that You manifest Your power in our infirmities, in our weaknesses, in our limitations, and You can demonstrate Your might even when we feel at our weakest. And so I pray today that with this knowledge, with this truth hidden in our hearts, that we will claim the grace, that we will lay hold upon the way by which You bestow that grace by the Holy Spirit. And so, blessed Spirit of God, come, revive hearts today. Glorify Your name by demonstrating Your power in the lives of Your people to comfort and to bless. We ask all of this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We're on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188th Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.